I don't know if you've ever wondered what it would have been like to be around at the time of Jesus, to be with him, to hear firsthand what he had to say, to see the miracles and to enjoy his company. When Jesus chose his 12 disciples, he chose real people from a variety of backgrounds who would be changed by his love and could then be sent out to communicate that this love was there for all. The disciples stopped what they were doing to go where Jesus wanted them to. They put their faith and trust in him. This morning, consider, if you are a Christian, how your faith in Jesus has impacted your choices and behaviours. It is good to thank God for all he has done in our lives. When I first became a Christian, I was a student. I didn't come from a church background. In fact, God was not on my agenda, full stop. I'd been out partying, been out clubbing, just came to a place of just asking the question, what's the point? And in that place, the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to me. Ironically, in the first year of my being a student, somebody had given me a booklet called What's the Point? I'd chucked it in the bin. But I believe their prayers opened up the way for that moment when I encountered Christ and he became my Lord and Saviour. The Holy Spirit led me to faith. So I believe that prayer is powerful and effective. So prior to becoming a Christian, I would often swear using God's name in vain. When I became a Christian, it struck me who I was speaking about, and I came under conviction that it was wrong to swear. I realised I would not curse my best friend, so how much more the saviour of my life? Being faithful brings its challenges. One area which some people struggle with is being faithful in our attitude to money. The conversation Jesus had with the rich man in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 31, highlights this. As Christians, we can sometimes just pick and mix the teachings we like and ignore the ones we don't. Then there is Peter. Are you like him? He claimed to be loyal, but when his reputation or life was threatened, he denied Jesus. Perhaps you are a faithful disciple that keeps true to your belief, no matter how bad things get, when friends and family let you down, when your prayers don't get answered as you would like, when it is inconvenient and life is tough, when you don't seem to hear from God like you used to. It may be that in the past Jesus was first in your life, but other things have crowded in. The church in Ephesus in Revelation 2, 1 to 7, is told it has forsaken its first love and is called to repent and get back to what it did at first. Today, how is your journey going? Is Jesus the centre of your life? Do you follow all his teachings? Is he involved in your decisions? Is he first? The great news for all of us that Jesus forgives Peter for betraying him. Jesus died knowing all of our failings. The parable of the lost son shows that God is always faithful to us. God is always watching out for us to make a move back to him. It is God that runs to us when we do and embraces us. When we have been faithless, God is there. God is faithful. Even whilst the prodigal was partying, God was still saw that prodigal as his child. He was waiting for him to return. I have a 16-year-old daughter. She loves going to music gigs. And Friday before last, I went to Leeds Festival, dropped her off for the day. And when I was looking at the information beforehand, discovered there was a prayer tent there. And actually, for the first time, there was a prayer tent in Creamfields in Warrington this year. You see, God is positioning his people. There will be kids going there, and to them it's just, fun. But there are people that, and they will believe in Jesus, and there'll be some that are partying, and they've just said no to God for that season. But I really believe that God's putting his people there to pray for them and be there for them. He's there He's the anchor. Sometimes our most powerful encounters with Jesus happen when we are at our lowest points, or the places that we live are at their lowest points. For a number of years, I was in a place of wilderness. For a variety of reasons, I lost confidence in myself and others. And yet, in it all, God was faithful. As I was honest and real with him, the counsel of the Holy Spirit began to build me up and give me hope. In time, God put me in a group of friends and gave me others to release and affirm the gifts he had given me. I know my relationship with God deepened through the wilderness period I went through. God believed in me when I did not believe in myself. He was faithful. Even me standing here is a miracle, and I give glory to God. I've been saddened to hear about the increasing incidence of knife crime in Rhyl. I've had conversations with others in different parts of the UK who are burdened and determined to do something about it where they live. I'm going to tell you the story of Bell Farm Community. It is an older story which we shared in our book Neighbours Transform Your Street, but one that we can still be encouraged by and learn from today. Bell Farm is a West London housing estate with a population of 4,000 within easy reach of Heathrow Airport. During the mid-1990s, this estate saw young people begin to harass shopkeepers and local residents, escalating into violence towards people and property. Young people would prevent cars driving down certain roads, jumping out in front of vehicles. They vandalised cars, set fire to them, threw bricks through houses and church building windows, and even made death threats. Bell Farm Christian Community regularly had bricks hurled through the windows during church services. The church centre was broken into once a month, and more seriously, groups were harassed when they met together. People within the church started to pray together regularly, prayer walking around the building. The congregation decided to organise 40 days of prayer and fasting. 13 adults agreed to take part, 2 people praying each day and 1 on each Saturday. In the weeks leading up to that period, the harassment and attacks against the building were as strong as ever. In the worst week, the church called the police 8 times. In the middle of the 40 days of prayer and fasting, the attacks against the centre subsided. In the year that followed, they only called the police 2 times. Another 40 days of prayer and fasting took place, this time to pray in the blessing of God. People felt a noticeable change in atmosphere. A specific answer to prayer was the appointment of a Christian police officer who was a tremendous support. They began to pray for the police and their fight against crime. Despite improved peace and security at the church, the underlying problems remained of intimidation of local residents. Young people continued to congregate around roundabouts and block entry or exit to the estate by throwing stones, riding bicycles slowly in the middle of the road, or even jumping in front of cars. The church met at one of the roundabouts, taking communion together, praying, singing, and pouring some communion wine on the roundabout. After this, the gang never returned, and people were able to drive around the estate freely. A small group met every evening for a week to prayer walk in a circle on a road where the family of the ringleader lived. Within weeks, the family were evicted. On the final evening, the walkers were approached by some young people who asked them for prayer. Birthed in prayer, Bell Farm began social action projects for their community. At the time the book was written in 2012, 2,500 people had engaged with those social action projects. The community of Bell Farm had a choice. They could have moved out, run away, turned from God, blamed God, ignored God, got angry at God, and probably at some point, many people in this story had a range of these feelings. But God. As they prayed in a focused way, there was a breakthrough and a strategy which meant the church was visible as they prayed and worshipped. A neighbour prayer network, we have other stories where people have seen crime rates fall as they have prayed for their streets and got to know their neighbours. I just want to encourage you that you can make a difference And sometimes our faithfulness in prayer can change a whole community. I mean, I've been part of Neighbourhood Prayer Network. When I got involved, I was in an administrative role. I've been involved with prayer networks for years. But my whole journey and my whole understanding for hearing testimony and going out to churches and listening to church leaders has radicalised and changed my own personal prayer life. 2 years ago, I fasted and prayed for 40 days in the lead up to Lent using the Neighbour Prayer Network Lent resource Beyond the Letterbox. I prayed for 5 households during this time. My definition of fasting was fasting off television. No escape to the country. Pure torture. My teenage daughter said to me at the end of the time, could I fast again, as she had enjoyed having no competition for the telly. A few days into my fasting and prayer, I bumped into a neighbour from one of the households I was praying for. She was delivering leaflets to every street of the door. Street of the house, every street, road on, every door of the street, sorry. And on the leaflet it said, not another Tupperware party. An invite to the ladies of such and such road. And it was a social on my road. And as a result of that, a load of women came together. And I met a neighbour I hadn't even seen 4 doors up, because if you're busy and you have a different rhythm, you don't always see your neighbours. And we had such a good time. We sort of got there at 7:30, we're there way past midnight, that we gathered again a few weeks later. Then we got invited to a retirement do. We've had another do since. And recently we got together because there was a planning application on our street which we needed to challenge. And all those relationships are an ongoing story. And, you know, having cups of tea, I've gone into people's houses that I've never been into. I've gone into people's gardens I've never been into. And I just don't believe I was on that street 17 years. And when I made a focused, intentional attempt to pray for 40 days, things happened. And it just happened that the two people that were, the person who was hosting the party and the person who was giving the invites were the 2 out of my 5 that I was praying for those 40 days. So, you know, God incidences, glory to God. So the Bell Farm testimony speaks of prayer walking. As part of our ministry, we are asking people to go a mile with Jesus. The vision for a mile with Jesus came from a period of fasting and prayer that Rachel, our national prayer coordinator, had in October 2015. We did a soft launch last September, and then in March this year, we had the official launch. We're inviting churches across the country to encourage their congregations on a particular day to do a mile with Jesus. We have had churches commit to more than one day, and some have committed to even a month. Some have done it on a regular basis, like once a month. But the idea is on that day, people pray for the people they see and the places they pass. And obviously, people will be prayer walking a mile. Some people may be prayer driving. Some people may be on public transport. Some people might be taking their kids to school. It's what is happening in people's life, as well as set apart events that people may choose to do around that. What has been powerful about this is that many people have had encounters with Jesus as they've done so. Deciding to invite Jesus to walk a mile with you can, for some people, be a powerful first step in improving their personal relationship with God. It just opens your eyes to what's happening in your community. You may see people that you just haven't really connected with before and have opportunities to talk to them across the, you know, the garden wall or whatever, just as you are being prayerful. When I first heard about a mile with Jesus, I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, I will be sharing about this and I need to have something from you. I need to hear from you. What are you saying about it? And I felt the Holy Spirit give me, he gave me a picture, and it was like I was up high above the clouds and I could see lots and lots of aeroplanes, as far as you could see, lots of little aeroplanes. And then I saw the shape of the UK and I started to see little lines appear, and they were landing lights. And I felt the Lord say, whenever anybody does a mile with Jesus, his purposes would be landed. His resources are there. All we have to do is pray. He is more than able. He has abundance for us. Those planes were as far as you could see. I have had the blessing of doing a mile with Jesus with two different churches so far. I was at the launch event near Heathrow at RCCG Kingsborough Church. We prayer walked a mile along the road outside the church, pausing to pray collectively at different points, outside schools, outside fire stations, different places of community connection. When we reached the end of our sort of walk out, so to speak, I just had another picture and I saw this, for some reason, because God is consistent, I saw like an aeroplane trail behind me. And I felt God say, my purpose has been landed. Glory to God. And there was a lightness in our spirit as we walked back. Already you could feel that the prayers were making a difference. I've also walked in a rural setting, local to where I live, chatting, having fellowship, and stopping from time to time to pray. Different churches take the vision of a mile Jesus and they do it in different ways because every church is different, every context is different, and some churches have done a mile Jesus as churches together expressions. Recently, I prayer walked 34 miles over 5 days along the Sandstone Trail. It was around my 50th birthday. The Lord gave me the vision to do this walk a few years ago. And at the time, I went forward for prayer in my own church, and somebody who knew nothing about it said to me, I have a picture of a sandstone. Well, you know, God is good. And in his time and his way, other people also had the same call and felt they wanted to get involved. Walking the Sandstone Trail reminded me that many people have done a mile with Jesus over generations. Even in Wales, there will have been people who faithfully walked from place to place sharing the gospel. And there was a real sense, as we walked, of that. And God's heart that his gospel will go out. And we can learn from people who have been before. At the very first place I started, we had John Wesley had been to Whit Church 5 times. So, you know, people have walked the land. And I'm sure in Wales you will have people that you know who have walked the land in your Christian heritage. The verse I feel very strongly I should share with you is from James 5:16. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. I just want to encourage all those who are faithful in prayer in this church. In the early hours of Saturday, I woke with the following phrase that I believe is related to this verse. When the righteous walk the land will become righteous. Do not underestimate the significance of prayer walking. For those who may not be able to prayer walk, doing a mile with Jesus, we have encouraged them to pray for the places they know or pray over a map. The vision of the Neighbour Prayer Network is praying for your neighbours, caring for your neighbour and sharing Jesus with your neighbour. That every street in the UK would be covered in Christian prayer. We have testimony of people who have faithfully journeyed for years with those where they live. Maybe people in here have also prayed faithfully for their neighbours and streets for years. And the testimony is that God has been with them as they have done so. It is so easy in our busy lives to live with a ghetto mentality, yet God calls us to love our neighbours. There may be people on our streets that are lonely and isolated, others who face many challenges. As Christians, we can make a difference as we pray, care, and as the opportunity presents, share Jesus with our neighbours. The Neighbour Prayer Network sends out a newsletter every Thursday to those who register to pray for their neighbours. We have now over 5,200 people praying on a regular basis for their streets. Usually the newsletter includes testimony that can encourage and inspire you in being faithful in your prayer and witness to those you live next door to and to your street. Some people pray for years, and year after year do not feel that their prayers are being answered. Others see answers within weeks. Jesus tells us to persevere in prayer. Luke chapter 18, 1-8. This vision is not something that we decide to do for a few weeks. We are calling for a lifestyle change, a commitment to see small changes on our streets gradually transforming our nation, one street at a time. Sometimes it's good to hear the voices of one or two other people as well. I shared a testimony earlier, but I just thought I'd give some more ordinary, everyday testimony just for people here today, so it doesn't overwhelm you in that way, but I hope the encouragement around crime coming down was relevant to your town. So the first one I'm going to share is from a lady called Rosina. My church has been holding prayer meetings for God to move powerfully in our area for about a year. These meetings have made me increasingly aware of the need to pray for neighbours and show the love of Jesus in a practical way. I also started praying for my street and surrounding streets. I'm well aware of the social problems in my area, as I used to be a nurse. I also have a son and I want to make a difference where I live so that he can grow up in a better community. About 6 months ago, I made some fresh cream cakes for a church plant event. I love baking. After the event, there was some left over, so I decided to go and knock on the doors of some of the homes near where I live and where I know many people are struggling. People were shocked and amazed when they realised I was giving them away. I think because cakes are seen as a treat and because they were fresh cream and needed to be eaten straight away, that people were happy to take them. On another occasion, I made up 24 boxes with 4 cakes each inside. That day, it was a neighbour's birthday, and she was so happy. A Polish family also told me how much they appreciated them. I often share cakes with my next-door neighbour, who cares for her disabled son. Last year, I held a Macmillan coffee morning, and only 2 people from my local church came, but I'm still glad I tried. In the future, I'm hoping to get to know more of the people on my own street, knowing their names and also giving them cakes. So far, I've concentrated on homes I felt had the greatest need. I also feel I should share this one. There's quite a few young people here today, and this is, I don't know if some of you have heard of Eden projects, where people go and live incarnationally in cities, areas where it's quite challenging. This is from someone I met in Manchester who's involved with an Eden project. I do pray for my street, perhaps not as often as I would like. Last summer, I regularly litter-picked and prayed as I went. I've also delivered flyers for our church's messy church outreach. I've lived here for nearly 3 years, and I've come to be friendly enough to say hello to a few people. I've been having a very difficult time this year. One morning, in desperation, I asked God to please send someone to help, to reach out to me and to cheer me up. When I came to the front door, there was a milk bottle with some orange carnations in, with a note on yellow paper saying, "We thought you would love these just as much as we do. Thank goodness spring is around the corner. Love, CNA." I need to make an apology. That is not the Eden testimony, but it is a lovely one. I will give it off the top of my head because the Eden testimony I wanted to share with you, and I don't know why it's not come out in my... This is where you copy and paste things. It's gone wrong. In that situation, the lady had moved into the project in Manchester, and when she'd moved in, I think it was the day after, she had a knock on the door, and this young man came round and said, "I'm terribly sorry, I've cursed your home. You may have some problems. I didn't know you were going to move in." He'd obviously decided she looked quite nice, and actually he was regretted that he was a pagan. He cursed the home. And anyway, she said, "Don't worry, we're Christians. You know, God has all authority. We're not fazed by this." And anyway, it opened up a conversation with this young man, and in the end, he ended up coming to the youth group, and he actually came to faith. So I'm just, sometimes you can even find times where people are anti you and they can be turned around to God's glory. Sorry about the confusion there, but they're still lovely testimonies. So that's lovely. And one other just practical one is the seasons of the year are so significant. Christmas, Easter, there are certain seasons where people can connect with people and people are open to the church. And on your street, there's a possibility of being open to the church. This is Alicia. I will just finish with her. I just want to update you about how God is continuing to work on my street. Last year, you shared in your newsletter how God had challenged me to pray for my neighbours and streets after reading your book, Neighbours Transform Your Street. My church leader had asked me to be the church representative for the Neighbourhood Prayer Network. I realised I did not know many people on my street. It was coming up to Christmas, and as I prayed, I felt I should go with my daughter and hand-deliver Christmas cards. I was not sure when to deliver them and how many cards to write, but as I prayed, this became clear. On each Christmas card, I wrote my name and house number. I put together a small gift bag for each house in which I placed a Christmas card, a mince pie, and some chocolate. When my daughter and I delivered them, most people were in and they really appreciated the Christmas card and gifts. I had good conversations with people as I gave them the gift bags, and some of my neighbours wrote Christmas cards back. I've been able to pray for these neighbours and say hello to them. This year, as I prayed, I felt I should invite people in 8 homes to come to a Christmas party at my home. 4 families came along, plus some other people on the day. Everyone had a great time and said, what a wonderful idea. They all warmly spoke about the gift bags I had given them the previous Christmas and said how much they had been touched by them. I really believe that the gift bags were God's way of helping me to get to know my neighbours. I am so thankful for all that God has done on my street, and I'm already praying about what to do next. So again, there are opportunities that people can have at different times of the year. So I just want to encourage you with that. Get back to what I was going to say here. I just want to go back to the theme of faithfulness. When we know Jesus and our heart is to him, then we seek him and our heart's desire is to put him first. But there are times when we struggle, we have to be honest and real about this. And there have been times in my Christian walk where I haven't felt particularly faithful, if I'm honest, and it hasn't always been particularly easy. But the wonderful thing is God is a God who writes new chapters in our book at times. And he's written new chapters in my book on many occasions. When I thought I hadn't anything to give, God turned up and started rebuilding my life. When I was asking questions, what is the point? God turned up and revealed himself to me. When I had a brain operation and I was in a scanner, in the lead up to that, I had a brain tumour, the Lord's word came to me, my times are in your hands. And that word kept me right the way through. The word of God is living and active. And God gives us anchor words in those moments when we need them because God is faithful. So I don't know where you are regarding your own walk with the Lord. But there's just that sense that today it's lovely just to have that moment to focus on him and his goodness and his faithfulness. As a child, I went looking for God, even though I didn't become a Christian until I was 21. And even the strands of us seeking truth, God is faithful. And those who will seek him will find him. And little moments I can think back where I cried out to God. I prayed, even though I did not come from a Christian home. But we have the blessing to sit here in a church today where you can hear the word of God. There are people out there who are trying to unpack what it's all about, and they're not necessarily in a church building. They haven't necessarily got access to the Word of God. But the good news is that God is active in our world. And just like he was revealing bits of himself to me, even though I didn't understand the picture fully till I was 21, his hand was upon my life. And even the moments where I was seeking him actually informed the character of who I became. Nothing is ever wasted. So Jesus is the best friend you will ever have. He will never let you down. He will never leave or forsake you. He sees your past, knows your present, and has plans to give you a hope and a future. He is the great teacher who teaches us to forgive, to love, who shows us who God is because he is God, who sacrificed his life so that you can be free from anything you have ever done wrong that separates you from God, with the promise of an eternal future with him. He has all authority over every type of oppression that may come at you. And I'm not here to give testimony now, but I can say that God has rescued me from every evil attack of the enemy. But I just want to speak that out as well. He has authority over witchcraft. He has authority over any demonic expression that you may come across in your life. Jesus is worth following, and in following him, it will not just change your life, but the lives of your friends, your family, your community, your street. If anyone would like to respond to this message, just close your eyes now and pray to God. Speak to him today. And also, if anyone would like prayer, please come forward. There are people here in the church who will pray with you, or you can ask me to pray with you. Choose today to bear the fruit of faithfulness for Jesus. Choose today to embrace the love God has for you. Amen.